640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Small. CBS News Brief. Israeli troops are surrounding the largest hospital in Gaza. Its military claims Hamas is using the complex as a base, with doctors and patients, including infants, serving as human shields. Marwan Abu Sadi is a surgeon there.
We are suffering now with our babies. I'm afraid that we are going to lose all of these babies.
Donald Trump Jr. is at court in New York, this time to testify for the defense at the family's civil fraud trial. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
What he's going to say is, on basically the front end, you know, we relied on the accountants and the lawyers. So when it came to preparing these statements, we weren't integral. Even though we signed off, we were kind of deferring to other people.
Congress has until Friday to pass a funding bill to avoid a government shutdown. Jacqueline Simon with the American Federation of Government Employees.
They've got families to support. They've got kids to support. The holidays are coming up. Cold weather's coming up.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There might be trouble for efforts to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee. The state Senate votes tomorrow on an amended bill to pay for maintenance at American Family Field, but as of this morning, not enough senators support it to pass it. Democratic Minority Leader Melissa Agard.
We believe that we can improve upon the bill, and we're going to continue doing everything that we can to make sure that the state of Wisconsin is getting the best deal possible.
Agard on Upfront on WISN-TV. Microsoft says it plans to buy about 1,000 more acres of land in southeast Wisconsin. If it's approved, the deal would make Microsoft the biggest landowner in the tax incremental finance district originally created for Foxconn. Microsoft officials will make their pitch to the Mount Pleasant Village Board tonight. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Brewers ballpark funding deal has hit a wall. The state Senate is currently lacking the necessary votes to approve the plan that uses about $500 million of taxpayer money to renovate American Family Field. The current count falls short of the required 17 yes votes. Republican senators expressed dissatisfaction with the proposal, citing concerns over taxpayers funding the project. Some Democrats advocate for the inclusion of a new beer district development in the plan. The Dodge County Sheriff's Office has reported that there have been no sightings of an escaped bull since it went missing Friday. It escaped the Milwaukee Stockyards in Reeseville. The Sheriff's Office has described the bull as dangerous and unfriendly, cautioning that it may charge at people. The Sheriff's Office has been authorized to euthanize the bull if found, as it poses a threat. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering healthcare to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Another heartbreak for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lose to the Steelers 23-19. Jordan Love with a pass intended for Christian Watson intercepted at the goal line. For the fourth time this season, the Packers lose a game in the final quarter, this time on the last play of the game. Matt LaFleur.
I thought our guys competed and battled hard, and you got to give Pittsburgh a ton of credit. We were right there at the end of the game and had an opportunity to go win the game, and twice. And like many times that we've seen on tape, their defense makes a play.
Up next, the Packers host the Chargers. The Wisconsin Badgers coming off another upset loss, 24-10 to Northwestern. The Badgers now 5-5 with two games left against Nebraska and Minnesota. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks host the Chicago Bulls tonight. The Bucks losing in Orlando 112-97 to the Magic. Coach Adrian Griffin on what his guys need to do better.
Protecting the paint and rebounding. We just have to be a little bit stronger on both ends of the basket.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Bright sunshine this afternoon with highs around 58. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, low is around 32. Highs level off around 58 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. UK. 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 From the Civic Media Radio Network. Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin Monday. November 13th, Calvin on the board, Greg Bach with me in studio. Todd Alba is unable to hear us for whatever reason. He's joining us from our studios in Madison. We will attempt to rectify the sound issue. All kinds of things coming up on today's show. Coming up at 10:33, Dan Schaefer, who usually joins us on Tuesdays, but Dan Schaefer will be joining us this morning. From the recombobulation area, he recently had a mailbag and some very interesting questions from his readers. At 11:06 next hour, Mark Sommerhauser from the Wisconsin Policy Forum will be joining us to talk about housing in Wisconsin. And then at 11:33, Benjamin Garabedian is going to be joining us live in studio to talk about some bipartisan legislation that is moving through our the offices in Madison, and that would address mental health on college campuses and getting more telehealth options available for our college kids. So, Todd, can you hear us now?
I can hear you now.
Excellent. How are you, my friend? Thank you for joining us.
Well, always a pleasure to start out the work week and back to school with Jane, Greg, and Kelvin. It's like a glass of fresh squeezed news orange juice.
Oh, well. My goodness. Okay, we'll take that. Thank you.
Oh, that joke was so full of pulp. Ugh.
I feel like I'm medicated this morning, but I'm not. I think I got a lot of sleep over the weekend. I feel good this morning. Maybe this is I'm a very light sensitive person.
Oh, are you?
So maybe it's the bright sunshine. I'm not sure what it is. I'm in a great mood today.
Well, that's good. And it really is a lovely day considering it's November 13th, folks. It's going to be almost 60 degrees at least in Waukesha today. So Go for a walk around lunchtime, or at least open up some windows.
Wait, it's Monday the 13th?
It's Monday the 13th. Yes, Monday the 13th. Saturday, of course, was officially Veterans Day. And I think this is worth addressing, and we really don't talk about the former president very often, but I think as we get closer to next year's election, we need to address what he is saying. And on Veterans Day, this was among the statements he left on his Truth Social platform. We pledge to you that we will root out the communists, Marxists, fascists, and all the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country, that lie and steal and cheat on elections. And it was his use of the word vermin that has really resonated with a lot of journalists who are bringing up historical comparisons to other times in history when that term has been used, and it's not good.
Not good at all, as we say it back at Richland Center. Yeah, I mean, referring basically to Hitler and other fascists and that sort of thing. The next sentence, Jane, I found equally disturbing. He says, and will do anything possible, whether legally or illegally. Speaking of the quote-unquote opposition. So meaning that we're not even going to stand for legal, you know, opposition. You know what? It doesn't matter whether they're doing things legally or illegally.
Not.
Right.
We're just going to do it. Well, and it was interesting. So a spokesperson for Donald Trump, Stephen Chung, was asked about this. And this was his response. Those who try to make this ridiculous assertion are clearly snowflakes grasping for anything because they are suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. And their entire existence will be crushed when President Trump returns to the White House. That should concern everyone.
Let me, can I take a minute and put this into context a little bit? Because I had the chance over the weekend, as I said, to kind of catch up on some stuff. Trevor Noah, longtime host of The Daily Show, comedian. Actually, he's in Chicago this week.
Right.
Great guy, I think. He has a new podcast called What Now? And we're going to talk about this more in our show later on this afternoon. But he put something out on Instagram this weekend or last week, which I thought was fantastic. And he talked about the need to have conversations and that just having conversations cannot be the dangerous part. If we're afraid to have a conversation, that in and of itself is dangerous. And I think what we see here is, whether it's Trump's spokesperson or this other issue that we're going to talk about a bit later in Ohio, if we're afraid and we can't even have thoughtful conversations, we're in a bad spot. And to your point, Jane, this sort of rhetoric, it's dangerous and it has to be called out. And it can't just be, oh, all Republicans are terrible. It's like, no, this is a specific instance where the leader, the leading person that's leading the Republican nomination ticket, is taking things from Mein Kampf and Hitler, and this just has to be called out for what it is.
I absolutely agree with you, which is why we wanted to kick off with this topic. Words matter. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Words matter.
Yeah.
The words that you choose, words are powerful. The pen is mightier than the sword. That's where that phrase mm-hmm. comes from. And I think it's important for people to recognize also that when he sends out these messages, it's never unifying. It's always, you know, my supporters, great, and then the haters and losers. Mm-hmm. The haters and losers are all the people who do not support me. And I'm assuming the haters and losers and his non-supporters also deserve to have our existence crushed. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I think that's a fair assumption.
I think it's a total fair assumption. And again, what disturbs me as well and frustrates me, quite frankly, is the media, whether it's the New York Times and some of their headlines over the weekend regarding this, they love to play up or play down what Trump is saying. You saw very little coverage on Saturday of President Biden's speech, which was fantastic. He was at Arlington National Cemetery. He stood there and talked in unifying terms, never brought up a partisan attack whatsoever, and spoke about his son, Bo, being a veteran and going there. And his dad looked at him and he said, "Why? Why are you doing this?" And Bo said, "Because it's my duty." And how many people, both Republicans and Democrats, have raised the right hand and sworn to a duty? That is a unifying theme. It transcends partisan politics. That's the kind of leader that I want moving forward.
Well, you have to acknowledge that whether or not everyone supported you or not, you are still responsible for leading everyone in the country.
100%.
Right? You can't just parse out justice to your supporters and then destroy the existence of all the rest who, you know, who are the haters and losers. This hasn't changed from when he first started running. He's mm-hmm. always been very, very divisive. And I guess there are still a lot of people who embrace that rhetoric.
Well, I think, you can say what you want about Biden. There's a lot to be said about that. but I feel like if you go through the annals of just his speeches from his presidency, you're never going to find a single speech that even in times of strife is divisive, that is incendiary, that has hard rhetoric. Now, on the other side of that coin, I don't know if there's a single world event that happened from the moment he announced his candidacy from this past Saturday, where he's taken a solemn event and said, now's the time to come together. Even if he's talking through his smile and, like, you know, lying through his teeth, you know, it's always been, today we recognize the horrific tragedy of 9/11. If you are a hater, we will crush you. Everything has always got to be about him puffing his chest up the most as possible, because he sees that as, I'm the big leader. I am the guy who's in charge, and you will all fall to me. And that just has never worked to do anything but pump up his base, which is shrinking as with every day. I mean, like, I'll never understand, because this is the work of a therapist. I'll never understand why in no way, whether it be from his children, his grandchildren, or anyone he considers a friend, has he ever taken the advice of just take a step back. Not like change your views, change your politics, but just, how about you, this tweet, just be like, hey, happy Mother's Day.
And just leave it at that.
Yeah, instead of happy Mother's Day, and I mean all the women, just the women, biologically women. You know, it just, I don't know, it would be funny if it wasn't just so embarrassing and terrible.
As a former Republican for 30 years who left the party in 2011, I would simply say to people, friends or whoever around the state who is listening, who still considers them a Republican, think what John McCain said on Veterans Day. Think what even George W. Bush, and again, you can have your feelings on him as a person or many of his policies, but I'm taken back to 9/11, and one of the first things that George W. Bush did was to say, look, the Muslim faith, the Muslim people are not our enemies.
Yeah.
And he tried to bring people together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He did not try to divide people. And so to boil this down and say all Republicans feel the way Trump did, that's just not fair, or does. No. It's not fair. And I would ask yourself, as a Republican voter, does this rhetoric on one of the most sacred days, probably only behind Memorial Day in our country, does this align with your feelings? Does this align with things that John McCain and George Bush and George Herbert Walker Bush and Ronald Reagan and Dwight Eisenhower said? And I would say absolutely, emphatically, no.
And let's remember what Donald Trump said about John McCain.
Yes.
Who was a war veteran, a hero, and a prisoner of war. Donald Trump said he was a hero because he was captured.
He likes
people who weren't captured.
Yeah, yeah. It was shocking.
With John Kelly, and called at Arlington Cemetery and called dead veterans, quote, suckers and losers.
Didn't he also ask John Kelly, because Kelly's son died in service?
Yes.
Didn't he also ask him, what did he get out of this? What did he get out of serving? What was the point?
Yeah.
What was the point?
I guess, you know, to take what Todd just said about Republicans and does it align, I mean this wholeheartedly, talk to us about it. Like, make it make sense. Mm-hmm. Tell us why what you believe lines up with the former president, if you believe that vets are heroes, that, you know.
Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and we're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm.
built for real life.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC tell us 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Calvin is on the board. Greg Buck with me in studio. Todd Alba joining us on StreamYard. If you want to watch us on stream, you can do it on Facebook, YouTube, and on Twitter. And you can always check in as well at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We are going to switch gears a little bit, Todd, for the remainder of our time with you. So, big election last week.
Can I just, before we do this,
yeah.
I just want to say very briefly, I was listening before As Goes started, and after being now in Civic Media for now a year, perhaps the greatest 5 minutes I've heard was Earl Ingram giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips on the show just before As Goes Wisconsin started. It was fantastic, and if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to the podcast. I just want to give a shout out to Earl Ingram. It was fantastic, but go ahead.
What was the big takeaway you took from that?
Well, that you should buy a fresh turkey. Apparently, if you cook it or you feel the turkey and use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast. If it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen. I did not know this. It was fascinating.
That was an amazing collection of words you just said there, Todd.
I know. Well, I had to be very careful, but that's exactly what it was.
And also, if you're going to get fresh turkey, try to get local fresh.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail it. It was stunning to me, and I literally said out loud, this is fantastic as I listened to it.
Well, if you see
on
to more serious things.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
Hey, just gotta find myself a freshie. I gotta put my thumb on it.
All right, moving on. Yes, last week in Ohio, they presented to voters enshrining a constitutional right to abortion in their state constitution, but handily. I mean, I believe it was something 56%. So this will establish in the constitution of the state of Ohio an individual right to one's own reproductive medical treatment, including but not limited to abortion, and also create legal protections or any person or entity that assists a person with receiving reproductive medical treatment. Well, a couple days later, 4 Ohio Republican state lawmakers now want to strip judges of their power to interpret that amendment after voters opted overwhelmingly voted in favor of this. So, again, we get results we don't like. We just go around. We find a way to go around it because we're gonna get our way anyway.
The people have spoken, and the Republicans have said, "Hold my beer."
I think there's two sides. There's a slightly humorous side, and then there's a very serious side. And the slightly humorous side is, remember Schoolhouse Rock on Saturday mornings? I'm just a Bill sitting here on Capitol.
Yes.
You can learn a lot from Schoolhouse Rock,
yes,
right? It boils down to simple Schoolhouse Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called separation of powers. There are three branches of government: an executive, meaning the president, a judicial, which is the Supreme Court, and a legislative, which is Congress at the U.S. level, state legislatures at the state level. What these folks are, they're living a fantasy world in Ohio, these Republicans, because what they're doing, not even essentially, what they're saying is, to your point, Jane, the people spoke, and we are going to use the legislative branch to usurp the power of the judicial branch. And that simply can't happen. I'm no Matt Flynn attorney here, but this is going to go to the Supreme Court event if they push this, which I don't know that they will, really. And I can't imagine even this Supreme Court upholding something like that. I mean, what I think listeners have to understand is this. There is the Constitution. When a state constitution and a federal constitution, all right? When legislators, whether it's Wisconsin or Ohio, go in and pass a, they have a bill. Bill is voted on. Governor then has the right to sign that if passed by the legislature into law. That's a law or a statute. Laws and statutes have to align with both the state and the federal constitution. What happened in Ohio, vis-a-vis the constitution in Ohio, provides for voters in Ohio to go to a referendum to amend the constitution, same as in Wisconsin.
Right.
And they did that. Therefore, what just happened now becomes part of the Constitution. So anything that these yahoos in Ohio, the Republicans, would do to pass a bill to usurp that power would be directly against now part of the Constitution that the people just amended. So that just doesn't align. So that's just kind of the goofy part of this. This is rhetoric. I don't know that it's ever really going to move forward. I think the more serious and dangerous, but not that that's not serious, but the dangerous part is here is a trend. And we see this in Wisconsin.
Yes.
People elect Janet Protasiewicz to the Supreme Court by record numbers. And immediately Republicans don't like it. They're upset. So they try to impeach her. Wisconsin, by all accounts, won. There was a fair and free election in Wisconsin in 2020.
Yes.
Joe Biden won. Donald Trump lost. Republicans don't like it. So they're trying to usurp the control and impeach and get rid of Megan Wolf, the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. This is a trend across the state, across the country. Republicans are afraid. Rick Santorum said this on election night last Tuesday on one of the far right channels that, hey, maybe democracy isn't the way to go.
Yeah.
They are literally afraid of democracy and the people. And so they're trying to change this. And this is what we have to be aware of, voters, as we go into 2024. And I'm not here to tell you I think that the Democratic Party is, you know, a sliced bread and a cup of coffee. But I'm not sure what that means. But anyway, they're not perfect, all right? They're not perfect.
Well, it's this thing now, Todd Elba.
They're not perfect. But I'm just telling you, there is one party who believes in the fundamental tenets of democracy and one right now who doesn't. And I'm all in on the one that is, and that's why I'm riding with Biden and I'm voting blue.
Well, and I think it's important to remind folks also, Todd, and as you said, you were a Republican for the vast majority of your life. Why did you leave the Republican Party?
It was all over voting rights. The quick version is I was witness to a closed caucus meeting of state senators who they said it was voter ID, quote unquote. And then one of the senators who chaired the election committee said, hey, we got to think about what this would mean to places like Milwaukee and the college campuses, unquote, which meant that if we pass this, it will make it harder for black and brown people in big cities to vote. And it will make it harder for young college voters to vote, which traditionally vote Democratic. They are. I was on the inside, folks. I'm here to tell you they're not completely stupid. They understand that their ideas no longer connect to 50% plus one of the electorate by and large. So therefore, they have to use both legal and illegal methods to try to game the system to keep their power.
And I think it's important to remind folks, too, that the election-related bills that they were talking about last week, that, you know, this is not about getting more people to vote. This is not about protecting our elections. This is about making it more difficult for the wrong people to vote.
22nd example, Scott Walker, when he was governor, they built a brand new Department of Transportation building in Madison. They shut down all the places where you can get your voter, your driver's license, and they moved it to the far, far west side off the bus lines out in Middleton, which made it more difficult for people to get IDs, make it more difficult for people to vote.
Todd Elba, always such a pleasure. Thank you so very much for joining us. We'll talk to you next Monday. Stay with us when we come back. We're going to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is The Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Leaders with the universities of Wisconsin are urging lawmakers to release $32 million. They released a plan last week to bolster degree programs to prepare graduates for key jobs in the Wisconsin workforce, but Republicans still want cuts to diversity offices. UW System President Jay Rothman says the deal's a deal.
We're taking the legislature at their word. They said this was focused on workforce development, and I think everyone in the state of Wisconsin can look at this and say, this is good for our state.
That's Rothman on Capital City Sunday on Channel 27 in Madison. A former Milwaukee police officer is acquitted of homicide charges. A Milwaukee jury on Friday found former officer Michael Mattioli not guilty in the 2020 death of Joel Acevedo. Mattioli says he was acting in self-defense. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Two drivers were killed in a head-on collision in Watertown Saturday night. It happened in the southbound lanes of the State Highway 26 bypass north of 19. The driver of the wrong-way vehicle was pronounced dead at the scene with no one else in that vehicle. The second vehicle involved had three people inside, and the driver of that vehicle also died. Authorities are investigating the cause of the crash. Rules for riders are being reviewed by the DNR. Officials are issuing a reminder to hunters regarding the regulations governing ATV use during the upcoming deer season. The DNR emphasizes that shooting from an ATV, even when it's stationary, remains prohibited. Hunters are required to unload their guns and bows while transporting them on an ATV. Bow season has already started for Wisconsin deer hunters, while the gun deer season starts Saturday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Imagine wearing a shirt that's either too big or too small. That just doesn't feel right. And when it comes to your Medicare coverage plan, Smart Medicare Solutions understands that one size does not fit all. Your plan should be meticulously tailored to meet your specific needs. With a wide range of insurance providers to choose from, Smart Medicare Solutions can help find your perfect Medicare fit. Get clear, objective advice by logging on smartmedicaresolutions.com. Smart Medicare Solutions, guiding you through Medicare with generations of expertise.
Another heartbreak for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lose to the Steelers 23-19. Jordan Love with a pass intended for Christian Watson intercepted at the goal line. For the fourth time this season, the Packers lose a game in the final quarter, this time on the last play of the game. Matt LaFleur.
I thought our guys competed and battled hard, and you got to give Pittsburgh a ton of credit. We were right there at the end of the game and had an opportunity to go win the game, and twice. And like many times that we've seen on tape, their defense makes a play.
Up next, the Packers host the Chargers. The Wisconsin Badgers coming off another upset loss, 24-10 to Northwestern. The Badgers now 5-5 with two games left against Nebraska and Minnesota. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks host the Chicago Bulls tonight. The Bucks losing in Orlando 112-97 to the Magic. Coach Adrian Griffin on what his guys need to do better.
Protecting the paint and rebounding, we just have to be a little bit stronger on both ends of the basket.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Bright sunshine this afternoon with highs around 58. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, low is around 32. Highs level off around 58 tomorrow.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, 10:34 on this Monday, November 13th. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. And joining us, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and winner of many, 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 many Milwaukee Press Club Awards, Dan Schaefer. Good morning, Dan. How's it going?
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good, good. Good to see you. It's a beautiful day. Nice. Considering it's November, it's a beautiful day. So get outside and enjoy it if you can. I subscribe, of course, to the wonderful Recombobulation Area, as everyone should.
I do. Thank you, Jane.
You bet. And I saw your mailbag, where you open it up and you invite, you know, readers to send in their questions, and then you attempt to answer them. And I thought this week's mailbag was really great, and I wanted to start out with one of the letters in your mailbag. Here's how this one goes. I understand the what about the Wow counties being as deep red as they have historically been, but I've never really gotten the why, particularly as it relates to Waukesha. Seems to me Waukesha should at least be a swing county, manufacturing, a union presence. I've never really been able to wrap my mind around why it is historically deep red. For that matter, if it was upper middle class suburbanites responsible for that, then why the suburban shift has happened slower in Waukesha than around the country. I found
you get some good questions at the Recombobulation Area.
Yeah, you really do. So what is your response to that?
Well, so for those who don't know, I am from Waukesha County. So I grew up in a very conservative part of Waukesha County. I was raised in Pewaukee schools, Brookfield churches, and a whole lot of baseball fields all over Waukesha County.
Wow.
So I do have some insight into Waukesha County politics and to why it is as red as it is. And I think Greg had something to say here. What Greg had some reaction while I was saying that.
Well, I'm from Waukesha as well. I'm from the city, but I have family in Western Waukesha County. A lot of police in my family, a lot of deep red conservative values in my family and from the area. When I worked for the Obama campaign in 2008, when we lost Waukesha County by 8 points, we considered it a victory.
Oh, that was a win.
That was a win, losing by single digits. All right, go on, Dan.
Because I remember, you know, being in high school around Waukesha County, there was a Bush-Cheney sign in every yard in Waukesha County, or at least in Pewaukee where I lived, the neighborhood I grew up in. There was basically a Bush-Cheney sign in every last yard. I think there was like one Kerry sign in the neighborhood. Things are obviously changing a little bit. When I went back to that old neighborhood last year, it kind of blew my mind to see some Tony Evers signs and even some Mandela Barnes signs in my old neighborhood. I'm still kind of processing that one. I think there are a couple things that explain, you know, the polarization and the why it is so deep red, because we've seen, like, you know, this the trend over the past, you know, much of the past decade has seen many suburban communities continue to shift to the left. And that has been kind of like exacerbated and amplified in the Trump era. You know, that we were kind of experiencing this point of realignment where you have, you know, some more of the educated suburban voters who are tending to vote Democrat, and you're getting some more rural and working class voters voting more Republican. You know, that varies from election to election here in Wisconsin, where we have a bit real independent streak. But I think in Waukesha County, it primarily comes down to two things. And one is the religious conservatives that I think enjoy a tremendously significant presence in Waukesha County. And I think overall, the regional anti-city polarization that has been fueled in large part by some conservative talk radio shows that have been popular in the region for many of the past, I don't know, 30 years, that have really amplified it and kind of fostered those divisions over the years. And I think, you know, as we're seeing that change, but I think that is part of the reason why that shift that much of the country was seeing before it started happening in the Wild Counties and in the Milwaukee metro area, I think it just took a little bit longer to shake loose because I think in 2014, there was a big Journal Sentinel feature on how the Milwaukee metro area was the most politically polarized metro area in the country.
Wow.
And I think it is because of that, because it was so deep, deep red in the suburbs and so deep, deep blue in the city, that it kind of took a little bit longer for that polarization to shake loose and that shift to start to happen. But it is certainly happening in a big way over the last few election cycles in Wisconsin.
I think the other thing too is, like, when you ask people about Waukesha County, if you put Waukesha County in quotes, people are going to say Brookfield, Waukesha, New Berlin, Pewaukee. Waukesha is a huge county.
It is a big county.
So, like, it's just made up of all different kinds of parts, all different kinds of people. So, and that's really with any county too. Like, that's when I worked in Racine in the mayor's office, you know, yeah, Racine is real blue collar union blue, but you drive past the eye.
Yeah.
Robin Voss signs for days.
Well, and you talk about the same thing can be true of cities too. Mm-hmm. You know, the city of Milwaukee, there are more votes for Donald Trump from the city of Milwaukee than any other city. If you think about it, because 25% of the city is voting for Donald Trump, that's like a couple hundred thousand people, mm-hmm. you know, in Milwaukee County who are going to be voting for Trump. So I think that, you know, you got it. Everything contains multitudes, right? Yeah. And Waukesha County is the third most populous county in the state. So it's going to have a lot of votes from all across the political spectrum.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Dan Schaefer is our guest from the recombobulation area. And we're talking about several letters that were in the recent mailbag over at the Recombob area. Here's one. new nickname. I think this is a really great question, Dan. As a former Milwaukeean who watches with interest from a distance, I have to ask you, what is there to be optimistic about right now in Wisconsin at large and also in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think this is actually a really interesting time for Milwaukee and Wisconsin, and an interesting time to be optimistic about what's going on here. I think the headlines that we so often see coming out of Wisconsin are so negative and are so, you know, fraught with polarization and fraught with, you know, the Republicans running the Wisconsin state legislature so often dictate the news cycle, Robin Voss dictating the news cycle in so many ways. But I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. You know, in Milwaukee, you know, we just had this really big deal to put the city and county's finances on more firm footing looking forward. And I think you're going to start to see, instead of constantly looking for ways to avoid the cliff or avert a worst case scenario, I think you're going to start seeing the city and county turn the dial in the other direction a little bit way, start to make some investments. And I think, you know, recent example of this that I highlighted in my response there was the growing MKE proposal from the Milwaukee Department of City Development, a fascinating plan that could transform the way housing is built in Milwaukee, reform the zoning code. I saw some people, you know, comment on it this week from across the country saying it is one of the most ambitious zoning codes being introduced anywhere in the country. So I think, you know, there's going to be stuff that's just one example, but I think you're going to start to see more of it. And, you know, we just had budgets passed in the city and county in Milwaukee that didn't have a whole lot of opposition. Everybody was kind of pulling the same direction. And instead of, you know, figuring out what's going to be cut this time, they're actually starting to invest in some things. So I think that is making me optimistic about Milwaukee. I think some credit is due to Mayor Cavalier Johnson, County Executive David Crowley, for helping get some of those things done. But I think in Wisconsin too, you know, the death grip of gerrymandering is starting to loosen, whether it's through the court cases that are moving forward or whether it's Republicans acknowledging that their approach to making this the most gerrymandered maps in the country isn't really working for people. And so I think that is another sign that we are going to be able to make some meaningful changes in this state and city in the future.
Do you really think, Dan, though, that some Republican lawmakers think that gerrymandering is bad because they're not responding to their constituents? Because to me, that sounds like the perfect job. It's like I can do whatever I want and I can ignore everything that my constituents want. And there's absolutely nothing they can do about it if they can vote me out, maybe.
It's always a little bit different when these legislators have to operate with a little bit different of a sense of accountability. And I think if we can bring a little bit more accountability to the Wisconsin state legislature, we're going to see more meaningful change. And I think to a certain extent, you saw it this year in some instances in the legislature, like that shared revenue deal, where it was clear that something had to get done. You know, there were obviously things that folks like me in Milwaukee who lean to the left are not thrilled about with that deal, but I think it was really important to get done. And this was the first year, and that happened after, you know, Tony Evers was reelected, happened after the Janet Protasiewicz landslide victory in April. You know, we're seeing a little bit more bipartisanship happening in Madison, just a little bit.
Slightly, a scooch more.
Very, very slightly. It's kind of one step forward, two steps back. But there are some steps being taken in the right direction.
I was going to say, a scooch is great. I'll take a scooch.
We'll take a scooch, right?
I will say this too, in response to the question about Milwaukee and its improvements, and this is not like... I would actually, Dan, if you know deeply about this or get someone on to talk about those rezoning ideas, that sounds exciting. But also, last night I was in Milwaukee not working for a moment, and I was walking down Valar Phillips, and I felt like I was in a different city. It didn't feel, and in a good way, too. It's like, oh my gosh, this, you know, this is beautiful. Like the improvements, even to the sidewalks and the look of the buildings. I'm like, this feels like a fancy city I'm in, and it felt good.
I think there's so many reasons to be excited about Milwaukee right now. Yeah. You know, I think I've been, you know, obviously from the region, like I was saying, grew up in Waukesha County. I've been in the city of Milwaukee basically since 2009, save one year. I'm as optimistic or more optimistic now in 2023 than at any time since I've lived in the city.
Well, that makes me feel good because I am not an optimist. So it's always nice to be able to pull optimism from others. I really appreciate that, Dan.
We'll get you to be an optimist by a scooch.
I'm an optimist, but I'm also a realist.
You are a realist.
Yes.
The glass is half full, but sometimes that glass is half full of poison.
I want that on a t-shirt. That sums up my, oh God, that was perfect, Dan Shaver.
Oh man, that was funny.
That was just perfect. All right. When we come back, the Brewers deal, the Brewers stadium deal explained for a five-year-old. Dan's going to break it down for us as he did for his reader of the recombobulation area and see where we stand on the latest with this. There have been some little tweaks, haven't there, Dan?
There's some amendments. There's some debates. There's a whole lot going on. Big vote tomorrow, though.
All right. Big vote tomorrow. Stay with us. We will be right back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
Somebody recombobulate me.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Half Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Half Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Half is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See him in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or 76th and Layton, right on the corner of Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Good morning. Welcome to Ask Goes Wisconsin. 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. Jane Metnair in for Kristen Bry. Calvin on the board. Greg Buck with me in studio. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area is here with us as well. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. If you ever want to call and or text, a couple texts I wanted to get to. Good morning, everybody. This is from Marty. Do you know that the stadium is not in the city of Milwaukee? Why are we being taxed separately for triple taxation? Do we know about the deed restrictions that came with the deal with the VA in 1949? It calls for tickets for veterans at every event, 250 per game. I was not familiar with
that. I feel like we brought this up, the veterans thing,
a while ago,
and it just was sort of like a thing of, it was back then, and then we stopped. Because, I mean, I bet you people stopped asking, and I'm sure if veterans want tickets, they can get them.
I would hope so.
But, yeah, I just, you know, it was also, I mean, okay, what I'm about to say is not going to sound like I support the vets. I support the vets. I'm the son of a vet. But that was a long time ago. And if they were going to, like, re-up it, then it would be in there. But my guess is someone just probably forgot to put it in the new handbook.
I don't know if that type of thing made the new deal when it became the stadium district.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the 90s. Yeah. Well, and it, to my knowledge, it's right on the border, but the stadium is within the borders of the city of Milwaukee.
I thought it was in West Milwaukee.
It's a weird border right over there, mm-hmm. but if you go if you go south of National Avenue, mm-hmm. you're in West Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But I think if you go north of National Avenue there, you're still in the city of Milwaukee until you get to the highway. And then there's a very weird borders in that part.
You heard it here first, folks. Dan Schaefer said we have to secure our borders.
We are grabbing some questions from the Recombobulation area's reader mailbag. The last one we're going to cover. Dan, I've read as much as I can about the Brewers stadium deal, and I am still lost. I hate the phrase, explain it to me like I'm five, but, well, please explain it to me like I'm five and what this might or might not mean to me as a Wisconsin taxpayer, a Dane County resident, and a fan of the Brewers.
All right, so do you want me to just read my convoluted Lego analogy?
Yes.
Right from the page here?
Sure.
Okay. So let's say I bought you a Lego set.
Okay.
Yes.
He's
to someone who's five.
Oh.
And you use that Lego set to build something great, and a lot of people loved it. But after a while, some of the Legos inevitably got lost or broken. So you came back to ask me for more Legos. So you keep putting something together that people would love. But over time, things changed. Lego sets weren't built the same way. Everything costs more. And not everyone was sure that buying more Legos to build the same set the same way was the best idea. And maybe your sister needs a new backpack or some cold medicine, and we're not sure if buying new Legos is the right decision right now. Maybe you can use some of the extra pieces for a little while until we find a better way to buy new Legos. Or maybe we should just use some extra money from savings to get the Legos now so nobody freaks out about the possibility of the Legos going away forever. How's that work?
I You lost me when you started using Lego in the plural incorrectly.
Oh, God. Oh. He is so obsessed about that. Honestly.
No, that was actually a wonderful. No, that's a wonderful. I love that. I love that.
So where are we now? Where is the deal now? Because there have been some amendments you mentioned. Some things have changed.
Yeah. So it's the vote tomorrow is the big vote. It's the final hurdle. It's the most contentious piece of the vote. So I think there have been some amendments to kind of win over some of the last few holdouts. You know, this is a deal that's supported by Tony Evers, by Robin Voss, by Cavalier Johnson, by David Crowley. So lots of the main principals who are involved with this are on board. Interestingly, it's the type of deal that doesn't cut across traditional political lines. You don't have all Republicans in favor or all Democrats opposed. You have some kind of in between there, which I think it makes it a really fascinating deal. But I think I do expect it to pass tomorrow. You know, I think there's a lot of people who are even opposed to it who want to get to yes. And so maybe there are some final concessions to be made. You know, one of those, I think, is having some representation for the local governments who are paying into this deal.
Absolutely.
On the stadium district board.
Yes.
It seems like a no-brainer. You know, I know the overall size of the deal could have been reduced if they instituted a ticket tax for all events. They're only doing it for non-Brewers games events, but that's going to reduce the state's contribution to the deal by about $30 million. Doesn't offset the local contribution, of course, which, of course, they're going to kick Milwaukee to try and win over those last few votes. But yeah, I think, you know, the Republicans have 20 plus votes in the state Senate, so they could pass it just with the Republican votes. But I think they're going to need some Democrats to vote in favor of this as well. And I think they'll get a handful of Democrats to vote for this.
Did the Brewers cough up any more money? Because that's always been my gripe. I still don't think they're putting enough into this deal. I don't.
I completely agree with you there. They're putting in something like 20% of the overall price tag of the deal. The Bucks were put in something along the lines of 50% of their price tag of the deal. Much, 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 much different. I don't think the Brewers have totally approached this conversation in the best way. They added more money to the deal, but they added $10 million, which, look, $10 million is a lot of money, of course, but it is like $10 million in a deal that's approaching $700 million, it's not a big percentage increase.
No, it's not.
That barely covers tip.
That's the best that they can do to bring it, you know, to get it over the finish line. I guess that's the money that they have freed up available now that they are not paying Craig Counsell to be the manager.
Okay,
right?
All right.
Well, then they should have a whole lot more money they should be able to kick in.
Have you met Mark Antanasio?
This will always leave a bad taste in my mouth because I don't think they're picking up their fair share. I really don't.
But I know we have to go soon. But just to be fair, this team doesn't have a history of kicking in its fair share. Like the people have gotten rolled over on many times. Yeah. So there's never a stadium where everyone's like, great.
Let's do it.
Maybe except for Cowboy Stadium where Jerry Jones was like, I'll pay for it. It's fine.
Oh, by the way, Dan, your T-shirt suggestion. What is the phrase now? You're an optimist.
The glass half full, but sometimes it's half full of poison.
Texter from the 541 wants to know what size T-shirts we want and what colors, because we're going to get those shirts made up. I think that's absolutely hilarious.
Wow, okay, there we go.
We will see you next week on Tuesday. Dan Schaefer, thank you so very much. Have a wonderful day. Stay with us. When we come back, Mark Sommerhauser from the Wisconsin Policy Forum is going to join us. We're going to talk housing. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today, look at me. Gotta be Santa Fe. Yeah.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.